of Out of Bounds begins right now. Out of Bounds today brought to you by our good friends over at Chick-fil-A of Clemson and Chick-fil-A of Seneca. Rubbing Howard's Rock is a Clemson tradition, and so are your game day favorites from Chick-fil-A. Nothing says football tradition like your favorite food from Chick-fil-A. Herb and Carol Tyler, Clemson class of 82 and 84, look forward to serving you at Chick-fil-A of Clemson and Chick-fil-A of Seneca. Call Chick-fil-A of Clemson at 864-654-4655, Chick-fil-A of Seneca at 886-9080, or order online at ilovechickfil.com or through the Chick-fil-A app.
654 Roar is the number. Hour two of the program. We appreciate you joining us here today on the show. You have the Seahawks number one in this list of 2-0 teams. You have already, I wanted to say tease it out, you proclaimed it from the mountaintops on Twitter today. I also proclaimed my number one team
as
the
Ravens. Yeah, it wasn't really a tease necessarily.
Give me, and you kind of did already, why the Seahawks, if you're the best 2-0 team right now, you're the best team in the NFL. So you're saying the best team in the first 2 weeks of the NFL has been the Seattle Seahawks?
Yes.
Is that primarily a Russell Wilson thing?
It is.
Russell's been so good?
It is. And one thing I was looking at with these teams is who they beat. I was putting a lot of stock in who they beat. And the Seahawks beat the Patriots and the Falcons. Again, the Falcons are 0-2. They should have beaten the Cowboys. We all know that. And I don't think it's the best win ever to beat the Falcons, but I don't think it's terrible. I think the Falcons are capable of beating you. And then the Patriots, I think, is probably the best win that any of these 2-0 teams have. You could look possibly at the Raiders over the Saints. That was a really good win, but the Saints didn't have Michael Thomas. The Rams over the Cowboys, perhaps. Still not the best win. Cardinals over a beat-up Niners team. So that's kind of the way I was framing it, was what have you proved to me so far this year? And I think the Seahawks have two really good wins. Russell Wilson is playing lights out. He's gelling with DK Metcalf and Greg Olsen, and the Seahawks have a pedigree. But forget the pedigree part necessarily. I'm not really trying. I can't ignore it, but I'm not just going to put the Chiefs one or a team like that we all think has a really good chance to win the Super Bowl. I'm trying to go off of performance so far. So I have the Seahawks one.
Correct. I've got the Ravens one. I understand that their schedule strength isn't the best.
I knocked the Ravens for that.
They are second in the league in scoring third in the league in scoring behind Green Bay and Seattle. And they are, I believe, they're first in the league in scoring defense with 22 points
they
allowed.
Are, yes.
I mean, they've won by an average of 24.5 points a game. They've just been dominant. And going into the year, I understand it's the Browns and the Texans. I don't think those are the two worst teams in the league. Like, I won't view them the same way I view the Bills. And it's also not like they just won those games. It's kind of like the way we talk about Clemson.
They won them convincingly.
If the Ravens had just won them, that's one thing. But they are destroying these teams, and they're relentless in their evisceration of both of these sides. And they've done it in a way that makes sense with what we thought previously. So I'm kind of recoiling in the 2 week sample that caused us to think that there's all of a sudden a new MVP leader. I understand that Russell Wilson might be in the conversation, but I am not a fan of radically changing what you think after two games, particularly when the Ravens have done what many people expected them to do.
Sure.
Which is dominant. Going into the year, I thought the two most complete teams in football were the Ravens and the Saints, and the Ravens have proven that they are the most complete team. They haven't had catastrophic injuries like the Saints, who's a Michael Thomas. I think that's a big deal. But they can beat you a number of ways, and they have been very good in all of those ways in their first two games. So if I'm going to say that before the year, I'm going to keep with that and say the Ravens are my number one.
The Browns and Texans aren't atrocious, but neither of those teams are playoff teams.
Correct.
I have Baltimore too.
Okay.
So it's not like I have Baltimore way down. What really stood out to me is their defense, allowing just over 300 yards per game. The defense has looked excellent. And they've played two young, dynamic QBs. Now, those guys don't have as many weapons. I think what was more impressive about the Ravens is how they just completely embarrassed the Browns. Because the Browns, they at least have a win. They're capable of more. And the Ravens just destroyed them and took away their will to even attempt to play good football when they played the Ravens. So I have the Ravens too, but I'm sticking with my Seahawks at one. Who do you have at two?
I have the Packers at two.
The Packers have looked good.
Here's why. in much the same way that I'm giving the Ravens credit for being what I thought, I'm also giving the Packers credit for beating back, at least for the moment, every single criticism of their entire offseason. Like, I just think we have to give them a little bit of a nudge forward. I'm not sure they're the second-best team in football right now, but when the whole offseason narrative was they drafted Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers, they didn't help him out with the skilled players at all, this offense sputtered at the end of last year, blah, 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 all this stuff. It can't just be Aaron Jones. You know, Rodgers needs some help. They need to get him a receiver, and they need draft this and draft that and trade this and sign that, and they didn't do any of that. For them to come out and lead the league in scoring, that's a big deal. I understand that they played the Bears. The Bears' defense, presumably, pretty good. Vikings, they made the Vikings look like chumps. I mean, the Vikings don't look very good. The Packers may have broken them. They really might have broken the Vikings in week one. Because, the Colts look pretty good against the Vikings week two. The Packers just destroyed that defense. Plain and simple. They carved them up, and defensively, they did what we expected them to do, I think. They've been about what we expected defensively. I went back and forth on the Vikings and the Packers, Ngakoue's trade to acquire him from Minnesota. I gave the Vikings the edge. That, quite frankly, that was a grave mistake, a miscalculation there. And the Packers, Rodgers has been better than I thought, but his skill players, Lazard and Valdez-Scantling and Adams, who's healthy,
Aaron Jones.
And Jones and all these, like, they've just been better. They've all been better.
The Aaron to Aaron connection in Green Bay has been excellent. I have Green Bay third.
Okay.
I've been impressed with their offense. Vikings and Lions, not sure either team is a playoff team, but the Vikings should look better than the Packers let them look. And, yeah, I think, you know, pushing back against the narrative we all had with Green Bay. Oh, this offense is going to struggle. They were just – a lot of people were saying Green Bay was just a product of the turnover margin last year because they were so good defensively and they had such a positive turnover margin. But Aaron Rodgers looks excellent. Of all the older QBs that we love to talk about, Drew Brees and Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and Phillip Rivers, Aaron Rodgers has looked like the best by far of that group.
You know, the Packers have rushed for 32 more yards than everybody else in the league.
Wow.
So far, per game. So you're talking about 64 yards total per game, more than anybody else. The Browns are second at 176.5. 208.5 yards per game. Pretty remarkable what the Packers have been able to do offensively.
Tell me you have Seattle somewhere up here, Quah.
I do not have Seattle next, Kelly.
Oof.
Once again, I'm going with beating back narratives and being a little more dominant than we thought. I've got the Rams at number three. The Rams, to me, I thought they were going to be dead last in the division. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong about that. You just beat the two favorites in the NFC East. You throttled the Eagles on the road. You destroyed them. You beat the Cowboys by three in a game where I think most people coming out of that game were more impressed than the Rams. We're talking about Arizona. The Rams have scored and allowed basically the same points as Arizona so far. So people are going to be really high on Arizona. I'm looking at the Rams going, okay, their next three games are at the Bills, Giants, at Washington. Then they go to San Francisco. Theoretically, they could be 5-0 to start this season. And that is way better than anybody thought. It's way better than I thought they'd be at the start of this year. I thought this NFC West would be the best division in football. I did not think the Rams would be quite as hot as they have out of the gate. And they have defended much better than Seattle through two games.
Yes, they have. Aaron Donald's been a monster. I have the Rams fourth. The Rams are the perfect example of addition by subtraction. They got rid of Todd Gurley. No more Brandon Cooks. Cooper Kupp has become their number one guy. He's been great. They've been doing a little bit of running back by committee with Malcolm Brown and Daryl Henderson, a little Cam Akers. That's worked. And Jared Goff looks super comfortable in that offense. So I've been very impressed with the Rams. They have a good win over the Cowboys. I have the Rams fourth.
I've got the Seahawks fourth.
Okay.
I couldn't put the Seahawks any higher than this because they're dead last in yards allowed.
Their defense,
in the NFL.
It hasn't looked great. But I stand by my comeback to that they've played two good offenses.
They have played two good offenses. And their scoring defense.
The other thing, too, with Seattle, sorry to cut you off there, they've been scoring so quickly. They've been so efficient offensively that it's kind of hurt them defensively because they get out there, they score, And then their defense is right back on the field. So maybe that's something they have to look at and address.
No, I think that's true. I think there's something to be said for that. They just need to prove to me that they can be that. Because here's what I see with Seattle. This always bothers me with teams, okay? When I look at the Ravens, I can see them winning the way that they're winning right now every week. When I look at the Packers, I can see them winning the way they're winning right now every week. When I look at the Rams, I see them winning the way they're winning right now every week, or I could. Seattle has to be able to run the ball. They have to be able to play defense. Pete Carroll does not fun and gun five wide receivers, chuck it around, let Russell Wilson throw 50 touchdown passes and just like chuck it around like Matt Ryan in Atlanta. That's not Pete Carroll's MO. At some point, I'm going to look for Seattle to be what it is they've been forever under Pete Carroll. And they haven't proven to me that they can run it to win it. And they haven't proven to me they can stop anybody. And I'm not sure that that formula is going to be something that they're just totally cool with for 16 games in Seattle. So that scares me a little bit more than the three teams ahead of them.
I get that. And part of the issue of why their offense is scoring so quickly and getting off the field is because they're not really running it. And right now they don't necessarily feel the need to run it. They've only run the ball 50 times so far, which actually is pretty high. Eight of those have been Russell Wilson. They've used Chris Carson a lot in the receiving game. And I think part of it, too, I'm willing to give this defense a little more time to figure out how they're going to gel. Jamal Adams has been great.
He's been very good.
He's their leading tackler. He already has 3.5 tackles for a loss, which is huge. But he just got there. So I'm going to give them a little more time to figure it out. But, yes, the defense has to get better. I think it can. Right now, I'm so high on how Russell Wilson has been playing. 82% completion. I mean, who does that?
The thing is, he's going to have to keep doing that. Going to have to keep doing that because
he doesn't have to complete 83% of his passes.
Well, if he has a normal good performance, they lose on Sunday. Like, they won by 5. He had to be great on Sunday for them to win.
Can we please acknowledge how good the Patriots' offense looked?
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, that's my point. That he had to do that because they could not stop the Patriots. And let's be clear about something else, too. It's not like the Patriots' offense lit up the Dolphins in Week 1 either.
I understand. But I think the Patriots are starting to figure out more what they want to do. They didn't let Cam Newton air it out at all versus the Dolphins.
It was very in a box.
Yeah.
It was very in a box.
So it seems like they're getting more comfortable with Cam, and Cam's getting more comfortable with his receivers.
3 sacks in 2 games. You give up all the passing yards. I mean, Seattle needs to get after – and Bruce Irvin, we think Bruce Irvin's hurt. And we think he might be out for a while, maybe the season. My concerns about Seattle being able to rush the passer are still there. But basically what I'm saying is this. Wilson's been great. I wasn't concerned about Wilson. The things that I was concerned about with them, unlike the Packers, unlike the Rams, have fixed themselves through 2 games.
Sure.
So I'm taking them at 4. Who's your number 5?
This is going off strictly from what we've seen, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Raiders.
All right.
I have the Las Vegas Raiders at 5. They have, besides, I think Seattle's win over the Patriots is the best win so far of these teams. But the Raiders, just from what I saw in that game and how well the Patriots played, the Raiders have the best win if you're going off of pedigree of what we thought before the year.
Yeah.
Remember, the Saints beat the Bucs Week 1. And the Saints struggled, but you have to give the Raiders a lot of credit for that on Monday night. So I think the Raiders have the best win just going off of what we thought going into the year. And Derek Carr has looked great. That's been really encouraging to see. Everyone knows how talented Carr is, but it seems like he hasn't really been able to put it together. Josh Jacobs has been excellent for them. Darren Waller, we know how good he's been. And I'm high on what the Raiders have done so far. I put them 5.
I have the Chiefs at 5. I am not impressed at all that they beat the Chargers when Justin Herbert found out 2 seconds before kickoff that he was going to be the starting quarterback. That's not an impressive win. But I do think the Chargers, you look at what the Chargers have done defensively, okay? In the first 2 games, they've lost 2 close games because their defense has been outstanding. To me, if you're facing Los Angeles, I almost said San Diego. If you're facing Los Angeles, you better buckle that chin strap. They're going to hit you. They're going to come after you defensively.
Buckle that chin strap.
And I said they lost. They won a close game. They won a close game in Week 1. I don't know why I said they lost. They beat the Bengals. in a game where they probably were better.
Oh, that's right. They probably should have, at least that game should have gone to overtime.
Maybe the Chargers are a little bit of a tougher out than we thought. The Chiefs have been impressed. They were impressive against the Texans. They swarmed Deshaun Watson. Not so much what they did on offense, but they swarmed him. They just totally got after him, and they obliterated the pocket. So I'm going to give them credit for dealing with that. They faced two teams that are probably decent and were able to get wins. And if you look at some of the teams below them, beating the Bengals and the Chiefs, I'm sorry, I'm looking at the Chargers again. beating the Texans and the Chargers is not the worst resume on here.
But so it's almost the way they beat the Chargers.
Yeah. It wasn't great.
To get a vibe from the Chiefs. And I have the Chiefs sixth, by the way. So not much lower than you, but I have them behind the Raiders. I'm starting to get a vibe from the Chiefs. We know how talented they are offensively. We know how many weapons they have. They're starting to look to me like they're going to be kind of a postseason team. If they're going to have this group together forever, this is a weird comparison, but bear with me. Remember LeBron's Cavs? They always underperformed and underwhelmed in the regular season.
They did.
But they constantly were in the finals. And there's some parallels there that don't work, but because the Chiefs have a lot more young talent than the Cavs did. The Cavs were really old, and that was kind of part of their issues in the regular season. But I'm getting that vibe from the Chiefs that they're probably going to go 12-4, 13-3. They might not blow you away in the regular season, but everyone's going to be picking them to win a Super Bowl and to play well in the postseason. And we kind of saw that last year with the Chiefs as well.
Real quickly, my number six is the Cardinals.
Okay.
They won in San Francisco, which I think is that was a huge step. I would argue that in terms of the divisional quality of win, that might be the best win.
It's huge for them.
A divisional opponent, and it's over a team that was coming off a Super Bowl appearance.
And that division is so loaded. It's just going to be tough to win.
And then, of course, beating Washington FT is nothing to write home about. But they have given up no more than 20 points in the first two games. Look at their schedule, Kelly. Lions, at Panthers, at Jets. Are they 5-0 going to Dallas? Are they 5-0 before Monday Night Football in Dallas?
Should be.
Maybe so. I've been impressed with the Cardinals on defense so far.
Quack, the two divisions without a two-loss team, or without a two-win team, excuse me, are both in the NFC. The NFC East and the NFC South.
Yep. And we pretty much expect
And we know
that.
The NFC East is worse. At least right now it's looking that way.
It's the worst in football. All right, stay with us. We're going to get to the back half of this list of ranking the 2-0 teams in the NFL. But first, Brian Edwards with winners coming next.
Hurricane season is upon us, and winter weather is just around the corner. Don't let bad weather leave you in the dark. Be prepared with a Generac automatic home hole standby power solution from Carolina Generators, your local Generac Power Pro Premier dealer. Ready to serve you. Give Carolina Generators a call at 864-232-5684 or visit online at carolinagenerators.com to schedule your free in-home Power Pro assessment. Tell them Mickey from 105.5 sent you.
Jazz on the Alley continues every Thursday night, so when you get off work, grab all your friends, grab that mask, and come on down and have a good time. Masks are required now at Jazz on the Alley, so come on out, bring your family after work, and enjoy a real good time at Jazz on the Alley in downtown Seneca on Ramcat Alley, and you're going to love the smooth sounds you hear of some of these great artists. Check them out.
Give me all you got, don't hold your back. Just fine. Oh, if it wasn't for you treating her so bad, she wouldn't know how good she's got it now.
It's outside dining, fun, family, and friends. Bring them on down. Don't forget the mask. And have a good time and dance the night away at Jazz on the Alley every Thursday night, 7 till 9, event of the year. It's going to be fun, and you need to be here. 7 till 9, Jazz on the Alley. We'll see you here.
Winning season returns at MyBookie. Winning season means doubling your first deposit. Winning season means Survivor, Super Contests, and Squares. At MyBookie, winning season means hitting all your parlays and props with your feet up, watching your team trounce their rivals. Rejoice! It's time to celebrate the NFL season. Invest in your intuition. Use promo code WCCP and double your first deposit.
New players get up to $1,000 in free play, designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. From live betting to championship futures, every play you want to make is waiting at MyBookie. It's simple. Make your picks, win big, collect your cash. Use promo code WCCP and double your first deposit. Your winning season begins today, only at MyBookie.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Most artists agree, relaxation leads to inspiration. So sit back, relax, and take in the clear blue sky. Times like these call for your Blue Views Alto. That's right, our best vapor product yet is available in blue. Or choose from a palette of 7 bold colors, 3 smooth tastes, and 3 nicotine levels at Views.com. It's your vape, your way. Views. Charge beyond. Underage sale prohibited. Website restricted to age 21 and over tobacco consumers. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Most artists agree, relaxation leads to inspiration. So sit back, relax, and take in the clear blue sky. Times like these call for your Blue Views Alto. That's right, our best vapor product yet is available in blue. Or choose from a palette of 7 bold colors, 3 smooth tastes, and 3 nicotine levels at Views.com. It's your vape, your way. Views. Charge beyond. Underage sale prohibited. Website restricted to age 21 and over tobacco consumers.
Have you searched all over for your family's vehicle and can't find it on the lot? With the largest selection of Nissans in the upstate, Granger Nissan of Anderson is sure to have what you need in stock and ready to drive off the lot today. Proudly serving the upstate, Granger Nissan of Anderson is a proud partner of the Clemson Tigers and home with a lifetime powertrain warranty on all new vehicles. Conveniently located at 3510 Clemson Boulevard in Anderson and only 25 miles from Greenville and online at GrangerNissanOfAnderson.com.
We know sports. We are the Roar.
Got a girl from the south side, got braids in her hair. First time I seen her walk by, and I about fell up on my chair. Had to get her number, and it took me like 6 weeks. Now me and her go way back
here on OOB, continuing a little bit of a pro football hour on the show, talking 2-0 NFL teams. We are going to have Brian Edwards, our Vegas insider, giving us winners, joining us in just a couple seconds. He has some college football and NFL picks, so stay tuned for Brian. Out of Bounds today, brought to you in part by Engineered Sleep. If you are mattress shopping, you must go visit Engineered Sleep. It is the place to go to get your mattress locally. Look no further. Each mattress is made in-house in their showroom. They have the most popular models for you to try out. Engineered Sleep makes mattress shopping easy. Every local mattress order is delivered to your house and set up for free. Buy local and buy direct from the manufacturer. And they are now offering kids mattresses. Get specially made kids mattresses to fit any bed frame for your little ones so they can sleep comfortably throughout the night. Check them out today at 627 Congaree Road in Greenville. Online at engineeredsleep.com for more information. They have mattress sizes from twin all the way up to California King. Everything in between. They have adjustable beds as well. So that's Engineered Sleep, 627 Congaree Road in Greenville, or online at engineeredsleep.com.
All right, we are now pleased to be joined by Brian Edwards. He is a senior handicapper for VegasInsider.com. He's at BrianEdwardsSports.com as well. Check him out on Twitter at VegasBEdwards. What's up, Brian?
What's happening, y'all?
Oh, Brian, we're just so glad to have a slightly fuller football Saturday. With
Brian,
so much to talk about.
I told Kwok on the phone, you sounded extra chipper. Give me on a scale from 1 to Tim Tebow getting fired up after scoring a touchdown in the swamp, getting red stuff all over his jersey, or maybe that was Georgia. On a scale of 1 to that, how excited are you that the SEC and your Gators are back?
Very. That was the toilet bowl Zook Field in Tallahassee.
Oh, it was FSU.
Yeah,
that's
sure
right.
It was.
I'm stoked. I'm really stoked. I mean, I like knew my picks like Monday morning. I was ready to go. So, I feel good this week. I've been fired up for my Gators, but I'm fired up for my picks too.
All right. Well, let's start with your Gators then. Laying 14 at Ole Miss. Why are they going to cover the 2-touchdown spread?
Well, you know, they're 5-1 against the spread as a road favorite under Mullen. The only non-cover, they won by 8 at Kentucky, is an 8.5-point favorite, so only lost by the half point. The 5 covers were double-digit victories. I think we'll get that as well here. I think Florida wins a 45-20 type of game. I think Lane Kiffin will do well. It's just going to take some time and some recruiting classes.
Very interesting there. Interesting stat about Florida on the road as a favorite.
I wrote that one down.
That's fascinating. All right, Brian, I love this pick. I love taking Alabama to cover against terrible teams. Alabama minus 27 at Missouri. I think I know why you like that pick, but tell us more.
Well, Saban is 12-1 against the spread at Alabama in season openers. The only non-cover was in Atlanta against West Virginia 5 or 6 years ago. They usually drop down pretty bad whoopings. In Missouri, it was reported last week they were going to have 12 players out with COVID. They corrected that this week. Apparently, they had some false positives. They're still going to be missing like 7 guys. But Missouri's in total rebuild mode. You know, new coach, new scheme. I mean, look, I think Drinkwitz will probably do okay, but it's going to take some time. You know, breaking in a new QB, all that. And Alabama's loaded, so I think they roll.
I love when you are willing to go boldly into a night with a game that scares my pants off, and we come to Mississippi State plus 17 at LSU. This game is a nightmare for me. I am deathly afraid of it. I got in the fetal position when I saw this spread. Why do you like the Leeches getting 17?
TMI.
Sorry.
Well, Leach as a double-digit underdog has been really good the last 5-6. Maybe I forget how far back this stat goes, but he's 18-6 against the spread with 6 outright wins. His last 24 is a double-digit underdog. I think we've got the quarterback advantage with KJ Costello, second-team All-Pac-12 at Stanford in 2018 before last year got derailed by multiple injuries. You know, Miles Brennan is making his first career start. There's no Jamar Chase. Kerry Vincent and Tyler Shelvin also opted out. Neil Farrell opted out but opted back in. But Coach O's quotes yesterday were that he had not practiced in pads yet and he wasn't sure if he had the conditioning to even dress out. So if Farrell can't go, that means they have 4 total starters back, 2 on offense, 2 on defense. They lost offensive guru Joe Brady. They lost defensive coordinator Dave Aranda. Tiger Stadium is not going to be popping as usual, so it's not going to be that type of road atmosphere. And Kylan Hill, 4th-team All-American last season at running back, 1,350 yards, 10 touchdowns. I think to a key number of 17.
Good tidbit there, Brian. I'm really fascinated to see how home field affects, or lack of home field is what I mean, how that affects some of these games and some of these lines this season. Another one, speaking of that, Miami at home versus Florida State. Miami doesn't generally have a great home field, but sometimes against FSU they do. Miami minus 11 versus the Noles. I like this one too, Brian. You're taking Miami to cover.
Yeah, I mean, first off, not that this plays into my play, because I think Miami's dealing out woodshed treatment regardless, but Norvell testing positive for COVID makes us, you know, potentially suspicious that maybe there's going to be a few players that are out that we don't know about. Mm. And I'm telling you, man, these schools like Louisiana Tech last week, I scoured the internet from Wednesday to Saturday trying to find out anything and everything, and 30 minutes before kickoff, they, you know, 20 players are out. So we may have some FSU players out, but it doesn't matter. Miami laid a beat down on Louisville last week. They've won by double digits twice. I think they put it on the Noles. And the Noles are 1-5 against the spread. Their last 6 is double-digit underdogs.
At Vegas B. Edwards on Twitter, folks. He's Brian Edwards, senior handicapper, VegasInsider.com, BrianEdwardsSports.com, with all kinds of winners. Great analysis there as well. All right, you like Syracuse getting points against Tech. That offense, Brian, is such an absolute mess. You have to be rooting for Tommy DeVito to be taken off on a stretcher.
Well, let me be clear. Syracuse plus the 8 against Georgia Tech is a lesser play amount-wise than my others, but I am on it nonetheless. I ended up taking them last minute plus 21 at Pitt last week, and 11 was their biggest deficit. They led 10-7 late second. But you're right, their offense is a disaster right now. But Georgia Tech is 2-8 against the spread. Their last 10 is a road favorite. The Cuse is finally at home. Remember that game at North Carolina, who I obviously had been touting all summer, that was a 10-6 game early fourth quarter. And Syracuse defense, you know, they've been pretty good. So they're at home, and Georgia Tech, I know they beat FSU, but they got a 49-burger hung on them by UCF, and they're not ready to be more than a touchdown favorite on the road, in my opinion. So I'll go the Cuse plus 8.
Brian, one more college pick you have – or, sorry, two more. Excuse me. You're still looking at another one. But this one, West Virginia and Okie State. I need your professional guidance on this pick. I'm not sure what to make of what Oklahoma State's going to look like. They say Spencer Sanders is in a boot, I believe, so he might play. What's your play here?
Well, my thinking is that if he plays, he's not going to be 100%.
Right.
And look, I'm not saying I got West Virginia, you know, as a top 15 team or anything, but I like how they played the end last year. They went to Dougie at quarterback, and they won outright as the double-digit underdog twice. And they are 3-0 against the spread with two outright wins. Their last three as a road dog. Now, I got it at 8.5 early in the week. It's down to 6.5 or 7, but I still like it as long as you're at 7. And they may win outright. Dougie, he had 3 touchdowns and no picks. They beat Eastern Kentucky 2 weeks ago, 56-10. But they had like 11 players out that were suspended. All those guys are back. They got some good transfers, the linebacker from Arizona. And I just thought Oklahoma State looked like garbage against Tulsa last week. Tulsa had a 278 to 277 edge in total offense, but they missed a field goal and they failed on 3 fourth down tries, a couple of that were in Cowboy territory. So I think it's a tight game, and won't be shocked if West Virginia wins. I like the Mountaineers as dogs.
Brian, before we get to the one that you're sort of still hanging on to, not quite sure about, let's go to the NFL. You like Cincinnati getting 5 in Philly. We know Philly's had offensive line issues. The Bengals' offense has kind of struggled a little bit too. Why do you like the Bengals getting points in this one?
All right, if nobody else will say it, I will. Joe Burrow is already a top 10 quarterback in the NFL.
What?
His O-line was horrible last week, and yet he threw it 61 times, 316 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks, backdoor cover, hook me up. The Bengals are 12-5 against the spread, their last 17 as road dogs. They've had an extra rest after playing a Thursday game, and the Eagles have lost by double digits to the Redskins and the Rams. And look, Cleveland's ground game gashed Cincinnati's defense last week, but they're going to get starting DB Sean Williams back, and they hope to get 8-time Pro Bowler Geno Atkins back as well. And for Philly, Jalen Reagor, their rookie wide receiver out of TCU, he is out, and Carson Wentz has a 2-4 TDI and T ratio so far.
Brian, that's good. Also, it's always good when the Eagles are bad. Oh, we love to see it. It's not good, though, around these parts, Brian, when the Texans are struggling, but that is just the reality right now with Deshaun and his lack of weapons. Give us your pick on Steelers-Texans this weekend.
Well, if nothing anti-Deshaun, it's a play on the Steelers. I'm loving the Steelers team, even though they gave up a backdoor touchdown to Jeff Driscoll last week. But look, Laremy Tunsil, Will Fuller, David Johnson, J.J. Watt, Brandon Cooks are all questionable for the Texans. I'm not sure maybe half of those guys will play.
Oh, God. That's all the good players.
Right. They're all listed as questionable. I don't think any of them practiced yesterday. And the Steelers get back David DeCastro, a 4-time Pro Bowler who's missed the first 2 games. The wide receiver out of Notre Dame, Chase Claypool, has looked great, had like an 87-yard touchdown catch. Big Ben looks good. Steelers -4.
Yeah, Steelers went about double digits, the lock of the millennium. Remember the last lock of the millennium? I won by half a point in that under. Remember the UAB Miami under? All right, finally in the NFL, Packers plus +3 at the Saints. Saints did not look great offensively without Michael Thomas. I take it that's part of the rationale here, taking the Packers on the road.
Yeah, and, you know, New Orleans on a short week, and not just that, they had a late-night flight from Vegas back to the East Coast, short week of preparation. Aaron Rodgers looks so good, 604 passing yards, 6 touchdowns without a pick, and the Packers' ground game, I know it's only 2 weeks, but they're number one in the NFL. Aaron Jones, 234 rushing yards, 3 touchdowns, 6.9 yards per carry. Packers go into New Orleans and win outright.
And then finally, the Virginia Tech-NC State game. This is one that's tricky because NC State was better than I thought last week. Virginia Tech, Justin Fuente sat at the podium and looked like a sad puppy talking about how, well, we hope we can play. We don't really know. I'd say the only coach that feels worse about COVID than him is Mike Norvell in the ACC. But you're leaning Virginia Tech minus 7. Give us some of your rationale and the things that you're mulling over on that play.
Oh, I'm just worried about COVID, like I was with Louisiana Tech last week. I mean, they had an outbreak, what it was several weeks ago, and I'm just worried that maybe there's going to be a bunch of players out. Otherwise, I think Virginia Tech should be a 14-point favorite if all their personnel is good to go, but I'm a little worried they're not. So, but I got so lucky. I played La Tech anyway, and they ended up coming back and winning last week. So maybe I should just go ahead and pull the trigger on the Hokies. But it's a hard lean to the Hokies. My only hesitation, and NC State did look a little better than I thought last week, but my only hesitation is potential COVID or suspensions or whatever, just because it's week one.
Winners, winners, winners. All winners from Brian Edwards, as per usual. Brian, we appreciate it, my man. We look forward to it every week, but certainly with the SEC back, it feels a little bigger. Doesn't it? It feels there's a little more gravity. We appreciate your time. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks. And, hey, one last thing. You can still get Alabama season win total over 8.5 and the Gators over 7.5. I suggest doing so. Thanks, guys.
Oh, man. How about that parting shot? A little 1-2 punch at the end.
Extra credit.
We love it. Thanks, Brian. Have a good weekend.
You too.
That was good stuff.
That's awesome.
We know
so many winners.
Quack, the weather alert played during part of Brian. We'll reread those picks when we come back.
Yes, we will. 654 Roars and Umber. We'll also go back through the remainder of our 2-0 teams power rankings in the NFL after this.
While some things are unreliable this year, one thing remains the same, and that's the Mickey Potter Show live on site at Chick-fil-A of Clemson every game day Friday. Catch my show every Friday morning from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Call Chick-fil-A of Clemson at 864-654-4655, Chick-fil-A of Seneca at 886-9080, or order online at ilovechickfil-a.com or use the Chick-fil-A app. The health and wellness of our customers and employees is crucial to your overall business and community. Zero Res Commercial Cleaning is committed to keeping your school or business clean and healthy. Get 15% off commercial cleaning and disinfectant fogging treatment. Visit ZeroResGreenville.com.
If you've been accused of a crime, injured due to someone else's actions, or hurt on the job, you need to act quickly. Your freedom, medical care, and future are at stake, and the outcome of your case could have a huge impact on your life. Call Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, today to get you the best possible outcome for your case, including the compensation you're entitled to. Criminal, personal injury, and workers' comp. Get the advantage of using your local hometown attorney, Nick Lavery. Call today for your free consultation at 864-654-3680.
This is an actual customer Google review about George Coleman Ford. Matt writes, best service I've ever experienced when buying a car. The sales associate and the rest of the George Coleman team treated me like family, never pressured me into any decisions, even gave me advice regarding my previous vehicle. I'm so thankful for George Coleman Ford and their team. I love my F-150. I'll be buying from them from here on out. It's simple, my friends. Buy from George Coleman Ford. You'll thank me later.
Hey, guys. Seems like we hear too much about toxic masculinity these days and not enough about men being men. At Low Country Male, we are focused on one thing, making men, men again. For just $200 a month, we take care of your testosterone, labs, physicals, doctor visits, and primary care. Want to be bigger, stronger, and last longer in the bedroom? Ask us about the P-Shot and the Big D-Wave Therapy. Book today, lowcountrymale.com, 864-920-3066. Pelham Road, Greenville. Go Tigers.
Circumstances continue to drive uncertainties for families in our communities. One constant you can consider is the funding available for your student to attend college. Thanks to the South Carolina Workforce Industry Needs Scholarship, Tri-County students majoring in critical workforce areas like healthcare, manufacturing, computers, criminal justice, or early childhood may be eligible for a scholarship that pays $100 per credit hour. Learn more at tctc.edu/scwins.
I'm Kristen Bennett. 2020 has been a year of challenges, but we are a resilient bunch. Just like Bennett Equipment's lineup of Takuchi products. Whether it's compact track loaders, excavators, or wheel loaders, we have the power, stamina, and experience to overcome any obstacle. Bennett has three convenient upstate locations in Piedmont, Spartanburg, and Seneca. Whether you're renting or buying, we have you covered. Visit us at BennettEquipment.net. We wish you all good health and success. And remember, if you need to rent it from Bennett.
You can't make a living walking in the woods, but you can at least get there in confidence on a set of Toyo Open Country MTs installed by the Pendleton Tire Company. Wrap those Toyos around a set of Fuel Moto Metal or XD wheels. How about a lift from Rough Country, Fabtech, or McGoy's? Finish off that look with a set of NFAB step bars, and don't forget the WeatherTech floor liners. Call Joey or Zach today at 646-3694 or check us out at PendletonTire.com.
Getting to your Zen place is what Purple Haze is all about. With locations in Clemson and Williamston, they've been selected as the best place for piercing in the upstate. Purple Haze features body jewelry along with sage and crystals to bring your living space into perfect harmony. With the largest selection of glassware, Purple Haze in Clemson now offers tooth gems and piercings. Whatever it is, that girl will put a spell on you. Purple Haze, Tiger Boulevard in Clemson, Anderson Drive, Williamston.
More live local sports than cars on Woodruff Road. You're listening to The Roar.
We go together better than birds of a feather, you and me. We change the weather, yeah. I'm feeling heat in December when you found me. I've been dancing on top of cars and stumbling out of bars. I follow you through the dark.
Hour two continues out of bounds. William Quagamus, Kelly Granlick. You know, this... maybe part of my energy level is this feels like a Friday to me because we don't have a game Saturday.
Are you not coming in tomorrow?
I mean, yeah. Okay. I'll come in on Saturday. But we don't have a game Saturday.
Yes.
So, like, my game day, quote unquote, is tomorrow with high school football where we have Seneca. So I'm kind of gearing up for that. And so maybe that's it. Maybe that's why I feel like, you know, there's days where you just don't care that much. Like, you just let yourself go. Like, there's some times you were bragging about your salad for lunch. There's sometimes you just let yourself go. Yeah. You just let yourself go, and you just want, like, we just want to indulge today, right?
I'm not letting myself go because, but even though that's salad, Quack, it's a salad, but that was a good salad.
You were really bragging about
it. I love
that. You were really saying a lot of good stuff. My point in saying that is this feels like a perfect day. It's a little drizzly outside. It's pre-game day. It's been a long week. A lot of good work. Irons in the fire. A lot of stuff getting done. I'm just thinking that this is a perfect day for Duck Donuts.
Oh, yes.
Plaza on Pelham, 3935 Pelham Road, Sweet J. Go by and see them. Because they are, not only that, but, like, you get to watch what they make. So you get to like, enhance your appreciation for the thing that you are going to just stuff down your gullet. You get to appreciate it in real time. You get to see the process and wait with anticipation as they make it in front of you. There are so many good options. There are no bad ones, really. You look at the Duck Donuts menu, and it is alarming that they're all really good. I mean, I gave you one yesterday, the Beach Ball, if you're really just about summer. How about Chocolate Explosion, chocolate icing with Oreo crumbles and hot fudge drizzle?
Yes, please.
How about that? How about a little peanut butter and jelly donut, Kelly?
Woo!
Peanut butter icing with raspberry drizzle.
Oh, I love a good PB&J.
Plaza on Pelham in Greenville, Duck Donuts. Go there today because you don't care as much about, like, being healthy and your figure and eating a salad and all that stuff. You just want a dozen donuts.
Or maybe you had a salad for lunch and then you're thinking, okay, I could have some donuts later.
You know what? I like that. I like that.
Quack, let's give Brian's picks very quickly before we get back to NFL.
Yes.
If you missed them because of the weather notice, or if you're just tuning in, here were Brian's picks for this weekend. Our Vegas insider, Brian Edwards. Florida -14 at Ole Miss. Alabama. I'll go slower so people can write it down. Okay, you said one of your friends was writing them down.
Yeah, one of my buddies is like, I'm trying to drive or write this down. No. Just send them to me. So I'm just going to send them to him.
Florida minus four. I'm just kidding. Minus 14 at Ole Miss. Alabama minus 27 at Mizzou. Mississippi State plus 17 by a half point there at LSU. We'll talk about that one quick. Miami minus 11 versus Florida State. Syracuse plus 8 versus Georgia Tech. He likes a lot of home teams this week.
Yeah, he does.
West Virginia plus 7 at Oklahoma State. I thought that was – is that game in West Virginia?
That game is at Oklahoma State.
It is, okay. Yeah. All right, I missed that then. And then he's leaning Virginia Tech minus 7 versus NC State. His NFL picks, Bengals plus 5 at the Eagles, Steelers minus 4 versus the Texans, and the Packers plus 3 at the Saints.
All right, Kelly, we have given the top six, each of our top sixes in terms of the 2-0 teams in NFL. We're ranking these just to give a little gauge where we are through 2 weeks of time. Who's your number 17? I'm interested in this.
I'm so glad you're interested.
Yeah, I'm interested.
That's good.
Because there's one team that was in your, that you had way high that I have not even next. I have further down the list, and there's one team on mine that you have way down.
I had Vegas 5. Is that who you're referring
to? Uh-huh, yeah.
I have Arizona 7.
Okay.
You had Arizona 6.
Uh-huh.
I love what Arizona's done. The Niners win was impressive, but then Washington, meh. And I love what that offense has done. I just want to see a little more from Arizona. So I have them 7.
Okay. I have the Bills 7.
Really?
Here's what I'm going to say about the Bills, okay?
I'm shocked.
Their strength of record. Their strength of record is the worst of all these teams.
It's the worst.
Here's the Bills, though. They had the dual threat quarterback. They had the physical nature on defense and the physical nature in a run game. What they have lacked was a passing game worth a doggone anywhere. Enter Stephon Diggs. All of a sudden, not only is Diggs showing out, Cole Beasley is getting more looks. Why? Because Stephon Diggs is right there and attracting a lot of attention. To me, this is a Bills team that is set up to succeed like crazy because their biggest weakness was just the ability to for Josh Allen to throw the ball down the field to a credible receiver that can make the catch.
I get what you're saying, and I'm not arguing with you, but they haven't been that impressive through 2 weeks.
How not?
They have. They've beaten two terrible teams.
I mean, I understand that. I think how you play is important, though. I think how you play is important.
They let – who did they play week one that they let back in the game? Who am I thinking of? The Jets.
Oh, the Jets.
They let the Jets back in the game, and then they played the Dolphins close.
They did play the Dolphins
close. I get the Dolphins played the Patriots close. Maybe they're not as bad as we think, but I'm just not impressed. You beat the Jets. You beat the Dolphins. You're having some turnover issues. Yeah, Stephon Diggs is a good pickup. There's no doubt about it, but I have them lower than you.
Yeah, 239 yards.
I still don't think they've played up to their potential. I think they're kind of playing down to these teams a little bit right now.
They have not run the ball at all. They will. Even Josh Allen hasn't run it great. Zach Moss, I think a lot of folks are high on Zach Moss. He's averaging less than 3 yards a carry. I think he's eventually going to be pretty good. Allen has been sloppy with the ball, so that's one thing.
Yeah.
But 6 touchdowns, no picks so far through 2 games.
He's been completed, sloppy.
He's completed 70% of his passes.
But not with interceptions.
Not throwing it, just handling the ball.
Right.
To me, the issues they're having are issues I didn't foresee, and so I'm making the assumption that they're going to fix some of those. So that's why I put them at 7.
Okay.
Because it's uncharacteristic the way they're doing
it. I have them lower than that.
Okay.
Just because I'm not impressed with their 2 wins right now. I think it's been sloppy, and I don't think either of those teams are very good.
I think that if you look at the Dolphins, they played 2 close games.
They have.
And the second half of last year, they were losing a lot of close games. The Dolphins have progressed. I think we have this idea that the Dolphins stink, and they just royally stink. But in their last probably 12 or 14 games, they've been more competitive than you realize, more competitive than probably their win-loss record would suggest. So I don't see beating the Dolphins close. I'm not impressed by it, but I don't see it as a reason to ding you because most everybody's beaten the Dolphins close in the last 10, 12, 14 games.
So you have the Bills 7. Is that your 7?
Yes, I do.
I have Pittsburgh at 8.
Okay.
Now, their 2 wins, the Giants and the Broncos, right?
And Jeff Driscoll's Broncos at that.
True. But what I like about the Steelers is their defense has been incredible. They are tied for first, actually, with the Ravens in terms of yards allowed per game. So that defense is playing well. You can hang your hat on that defense. And the offense still kind of looking to gel. They've actually scored 26 in both games. But Roethlisberger looks better. He looks somewhat not – I hate when people say, oh, Roethlisberger's back. Roethlisberger is not what he was
in
2005.
He is not.
But he looks solid right now, Kwok. 69% completion, 5 touchdowns, 1 pick. He's only taken 3 sacks. I like that from Roethlisberger. I think it's just a matter of figuring out who's your number one guy. Juju Smith-Schuster has been fine, but he's actually the third leading receiver right now. And then James Conner had injury issues in that first game, so figuring out between Snell and Conner who's going to be most effective. Chase Claypool has looked good for the Steelers so far. So I have the Steelers up there mainly because I love their defense and I think their offense is going to continue to improve.
I have the Raiders at 8. Here's why I ding the Raiders. Your win against the Saints is marred because the Saints didn't have their best player, who would have been a matchup nightmare for Vegas.
It's still a good win, though.
It's
and
a good win.
They won
it's
it convincingly.
They did. They won by 10. It was a convincing win. They also, Carr has been fantastic. I'm a little bit sketched out as a Darren Waller fantasy owner, how much they've had to throw it to him and how little they're throwing to the other guys.
Sure.
Like Jacobs is getting the ball a lot. Waller's getting the ball a lot. They brought in a bunch of good receivers that he's not throwing the ball to.
He's thrown it to Renfro a few times a game.
Like 5 times. He's gotten like 5 targets. He's caught them all. He's got like five targets.
He's Hunter Renfro.
Of course. But, like, Henry Ruggs in 100%. Brian Edwards, we heard a lot of stuff about him during camp, and he kind of got dinged a little bit. You look at that receiving core, the receivers in general, I don't think tight ends and running backs are enough. Ask Aaron Rodgers. I don't think tight ends and running backs are enough to sustain a high-level passing game. And at some point, if those receivers can't help a little better, particularly the guys on the outside, the Ruggs and the Edwards and those kind of guys, then they're going to come back to earth a little bit. Plus, their defense hadn't been that great. They gave up 30 to the Panthers. I don't think the Panthers are great offensively. I don't think they should be able to score 30 even with Christian McCaffrey. So that's why I have the Raiders down at 8.
Okay.
Love what Josh Jacobs is doing, though.
You haven't said the Steelers yet, have you?
No, I'm not.
Okay, well, I have the Bills at 9.
Okay.
Basically what I just said about the Bills.
Yep.
I'm not impressed with either of their wins yet. I think Stephon Diggs is a huge addition. He has played well so far. They haven't run the ball. Josh Allen needs to put some stickum on his hands and stop fumbling the football.
I have the Steelers at 9.
Okay.
They're just not very good.
So we have the same two bottom teams.
They're, I mean, that's fine. That's nice. You got a 2-0 start. You're facing the Texans again. You're going to feel real good about yourself 3-0. Playing the way they played the last 2 weeks, Roethlisberger back playing, but not back to the level, not even close.
I just hate it when people say that. Big Ben is back.
Yeah, he's definitely not.
Guys, it's disrespectful to young Big Ben. It's disrespectful to Super Bowl Big Ben.
James Conner.
How good he was.
Benny Snell, who's your running back? Are they healthy? I feel like I still have more questions about the Steelers, so I put them at number 9.
I'm kind of assuming we have the same 10 and 11.
Okay.
Tennessee, then Chicago.
Yeah. Bears stink.
It's
I don't know how the Bears
shocking
are 2-0.
That
they
Bears
stink.
Are 2-0.
And the Titans haven't done anything.
No, and they've beaten 2 bad teams. Tannehill's look pretty good, though.
Tannehill's look pretty good. Derrick Henry, I mean, I guess maybe let's be clear. The standards are so high, nobody's passing them. I just, with Derrick Henry at this point, are we impressed by 100 yards a game? Are we impressed by that? He's carried it in 2 games against bad. You talked about against bad teams. Do you really like that your workhorse running back is had to carry the ball 28 times a game?
No.
In the first
he's
2 games,
he's averaging 3.6 yards per carry.
Yeah, like I'm not that impressed. And the real reason I'm not impressed is because you should be able to give him breaks in games against the bad teams that you play. You should not have to run Derrick Henry. What is it? 25 times against Jacksonville. You should not have to run Derrick Henry 31 times against Denver to get 2 and 3 point wins.
I agree. The good news for the Titans is they're in that putrid division.
His longest.
And they already have a win over the Jags, so they're going to make the playoffs.
You know how long Derrick Henry's longest run this year has been? This is fascinating.
8 yards or something?
14.
Wow.
14 yards, the longest run. So I just don't love that.
It is truly shocking the Bears are 2-0.
Oh, yeah.
They beat
for
the
sure.
Lions and the Giants, each by 4 points. They had the Falcons this weekend, winnable at mm-hmm. the Falcons. Colts, winnable.
Yeah.
They could be 4-0 heading into the Bucs.
They actually could. I would doubt that, though. I think they're going to split their next two.
Man.
At least split the next two. Hey, not shocking, Zero Res for your carpet. Listen, it's the best in the business. They know that you've probably called a carpet cleaner in the past and you think your carpet's clean. They're going to show you why that's wrong, because they don't use the detergents, the soaps, the formulas that attract the gunk and